Last week we learned Resh Mem Tes Sif Aleph, the Chiyuv of Meiser, and this week I said we get to the Pratim instead of the Klalim. So if you talk about Amelus B'Taira, we're going to be doing those tiny letters in the Pisei Tshuva this week. And what? He's poked out here. Okay. Oh, he is here. He's on his way. Okay. The question we're going to deal with today is what is eligible for Meiser, what's not eligible for Meiser. Naturally, you'll have questions, but I think we should stick to whatever we're dealing with at the moment and go from topic to topic. Now, the main topic is the last words of the Ramah in Sif Aleph and the words of the Tazen Shach on that Ramah. The Ramah there brings a Maharil that says, Ein lasais mi maiser shaloi dvar mitzvah. The maiser cannot be used for a mitzvah. Now, I would think it can't be used for a mitzvah. Means you can't buy your tefillin with it, you can't buy your esrog with it. He says something else. He says, Kagayim neirois lebeis haknesses ashar dvar mitzvah. For example, playing the electric bill in shul for the lights, or an other dvar mitzvah, rak yitnenu le'aniyim. The rak is pretty strong. The maril holds that you're supposed to use tzedakah money for aniyim specifically. And according to the maril, it would appear that using it for a lot of what we call today the different tzedakahs, it would appear to be inappropriate. The maril shita is that a person has to give it to aniyim dafka. That's the way the Ramah reads. It's very hard to get away from it, despite the fact we'll see in a moment there's a certain level of argument over it. But it says here in the Ramah, Rakit Nerulani. Those are the words of the Ramah. There's a Rabbeinu Menachem that's quoted in the Tazen Shach. It's, I think, easier to read it in the Shach Gimel. And as we read it, ask yourself, does the Shach mean the Rabbeinu Menachem is arguing with the Ramah, the Maril? Or not? So let's read it inside. Ein lasis ma'aser shaloi. Mashal v'hadrisha kosvu b'shem tshuvas mareinu. I don't know how you're supposed to know Rabbeinu Menachem Maharam. I guess supposed to look it up in the source. The chol mitzvah shetovei liyadai. Any mitzvah that comes your way. Kagan liyaz bal bris. And it was the custom that the tzaddik paid for the bris, and that was a way of poor people they were mechabit, somebody who could afford to pay for the bris, but it's on the cause, and the tzaddik paid for the bris. What? He's going to get rich, become rich later anyway. Okay, and he's called the Baal Bris. He's the Baal Abbas of the bris. It's interesting. The Ramah says that on the day of the bris, it's a mitzvah. The daliyah, kedima laliyah, goes to the Baal Bris. Question is, who's the Baal Bris? The father, the tzaddik, the mayel. So here the Baal Bris is called the Sandik, and that's what the Ramah is referring to. So to pay to be a Baal Bris, or to pay v'achdasas kala, v'chein liknei svarim lilmay behen. Also to buy svarim, which one will learn, u'lashilan l'achem lilmay behen. You're spending mice of money, it's not your sefer, it belongs to the tzibur. If he couldn't do it otherwise, and he would not have done the mitzvah if he can't take ma'aser money, so here, let's just talk it over. Is this arguing with the Ramah or not? The Ramah said only to give aniyim. The Rabbeinu Menachem says if you have a mitzvah that you couldn't do if you didn't take ma'aser money, then you could do it for ma'aser money. Now, Litzos chasav akal lachupa. Maybe it means an ani. Baal bris. Maybe it means an ani. But litzos svarim. It seems the pashta reading of Rabbeinu Menachem is that he's arguing with the Ramah that the Ramah is saying only to give it to aniim, and he is saying that you could give it to other mitzvahs as well. That as well. That's what it seems to say. If you couldn't do it any other way. He's an ani in regard to that. He can't afford to do the mitzvah any other way. So now he's going to use that money for himself. If he's an ani, he could buy his own food with it also. No, he can't. It's not tzedakah. When you buy food for yourself, when a person buys food for himself, that's not tzedakah. If you give it to an ani, that's tzedakah. If you give it, a man gives it to himself, even if he's an ani, that's not tzedakah. No mitzvah tzedakah. If he can't, if he doesn't can't afford food, he doesn't have to give tzedakah.
The money that he gives to an ani, that ani could buy with it, or he could buy a sefer.
Right.
So why can't he do his pay?
Even if Dani throws it in the garbage, if I give it to the Ani, I'm his Makayim Tzedakah. What Dani does with it is his business. But if a person gives it to himself, that's not Tzedakah. It's a Tzedakah to give others. If he can't afford to give Tzedakah, he doesn't have food for his own money for his own food. He buys it. So we're going to learn later that Ani, even if he has food for that day, if he doesn't have whatever it means, Masayim Zuz, we'll have to figure out what that means. So that's also an Ani. He doesn't have a certain amount. What? Maybe the Ramah would be masking if Loi HaYachol. Okay, the language of Raki Nen Al Aniyim is unclear. All right, so here...
The Ramah says, it seems like if you only mechuyav with a mitzvah, you can't use ma'aser money for that. Maybe something you're not mechuyav with a mitzvah, you could use ma'aser money.
Okay, good. Okay, we're going to have basically two mahalchim. This is what Yitzchak is saying. Unless you saw it before you said it to me, you'll see in the Be'er HaGaila. We have to come back to the second half of the Shach. But the Be'er HaGaila, in the ninth line, Pirish, there's a circle mark there, which is actually in the Ramah. The Ramah has, in parentheses, this notation. Pirish. Now, Pirish means he's explaining the Ma'aril. Pirish of Alaf Achim Mechuyiv Al Koponim Lasis Mitzvah Zu. It means you have to do tefillin, lulav, shayfer, megillah. Something you're obligated in that you now ain't a rishoy. You now let us spend ma'aser money. Avol yiraitz alasis by mitzvah she'ini kvar mechuyev rishoy. But if you have a mitzvah, I'm not mechuyev to be machnis somebody else into the chuppah. I'm not mechuyev to provide svarim for the base medish. It's a mitzvah I'm not obligated in. The Be'er HaGaila says Pirish. He seems to be explaining that the Ma'aril and the Rabbeinu Menachem are not arguing. That if it's a mitzvah, you're obligated, and no one holds that you can buy a lulav and esrog from your own ma'aser. But it's a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev. So then you're allowed to. So according to this, the Neris Beis HaKnesses seems to mean that somehow they divide the obligation among the people in shul, and everybody has to pay for a certain amount. And it's an obligation on the person. That's the way the Be'er HaGaila apparently understood the Lashon.
I think sometimes, in some places anyway, you could be the wrong candidate and trip in and walk through the shul.
The fact is that the Be'er HaGaila understands they don't argue. Look, some Sefer Netshuva asks on the Be'er HaGaila. Look, some Sefer is in. Walk down the Tshuva. Yerudei Reish Lamed Aleph. He's Matmiya from the Neris Beis HaKnesses. He Taka says that the fact that the example is Neris Beis HaKnesses does not appear to fit with the Be'er HaGaila's explanation. Be'er HaGaila saying that they don't argue seems to be wrong because of the example of Neris Beis HaKnesses. And as some cipher, also the Nitziv in his Meshiv Dover, Chelepes, Shuvai and Hay, which is his tshuva on Meiser, which is a tshuva hamakefes. It's really makif the whole sugya. The Meshiv Dover explains, as I mentioned to you last week, that the source of Meiser, the atumakiris, one is a similarity to Meiser Oni, and one to Meiser Sheni. And the Gra in the beginning of this previous siman brought the similarity to Maisa Adi. I'm sorry, the previous Sif brought the Sifri in Beis. Aser Taaser, he brought the pasuk over there. He says Shemaisa Adi. No, you got the Lubik Safin. So that the Maril is going with this Shita that the Gra brings, that it's Maisa Adi Dafka. When you give Maisa, you give it to Aniyim. The Yerushalmi has a pasuk for Ma'aser Sheni, which Ma'aser Sheni is all kinds of good things that a person does with the money. So according to the Yerushalmi, you could use it for other things as well. So some Seifa and the Netziv understand that the Ikar Takana of Maaser is for Aniyim Dafka. Now of course, if you give it to Aniyim who have a specific need, if Ani is making a wedding, so that's giving it to Aniyim. But Ani has to do a bris, you don't have money for a bris, you do your Baal bris. So of course, there's no question that's helping the Ani. So that's included in Maaser Ani. Nevertheless, it's limited to Maisa Ani, and all the other mitzvahs that exist, Pashtus, the good tzedakis, all the good tzedakis that are going to dislike me if I enumerate them by name, but all the good, wonderful tzedakis are not eligible for Maisa according to the Ramah and the Gra. A person should not be, should limit his Maisa to Taniyim according to this. If a person gives a chaymish, which is two maisris, so the Netziv writes that that's one maiser ani, one maiser sheni, and there's this idea that a second maiser, a person can give to all types of different what we call tzedakis, all the good tzedakis that exist. If it's for aniyim, yes. In Baruch Hashem, they buy diras for them because the people don't have money, and at least they have a dira. At least, you know, it's whatever is the normal need of a person is included. So, anyway, this is really the big chiddush that we're learning here. We learn a tzedakah. This is the big chiddush that you learn, that there is a tzad. Now you have to know when you give ma'aser, if you're giving ma'aser many years, and you're giving it to all types of tzedakis. So ma'aser, according to most places, is a minig. A minig is also an obligation. But if you're giving it a certain way, so then it could be that you're making a minig. You're not making this minig, you're making a minig. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Menachem is at least a source for those who give to other things. It's not true. Let's say to run a mikveh, let's say if you took the total cost of a mikveh, and everyone would have to pay $150 to keep it going. Can't charge $150, a lot of people can't pay it. So you're charging $30. The rest you have to raise. But at the end of the day, you're raising money for the rich guy too, because when his wife goes there, they're still charging him $30. He's still being subsidized. So it's a worthwhile thing. It's tzarchei mitzvah. But it's not only for aniyim. It's a tzibur dikar thing. So fertility. If somebody's an ani and he can't afford to pay for it, so helping him is tzedakah. If someone's an ashir and you're helping him, so then that's not tzedakah. So we'll have to get to, like I said, we'll have to get to what's considered an ani. It's a tough thing, but an ani. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about that. But yeah, because today people need more, and it's accepted that you need to have a certain amount of money in reserve, etc. Right, so yeah, we really need to cover that as well. So we'll define Ani, but the general idea of Ani seems to be defined here. Again, it's a Baragayla, and it's a and Shach does bring this Rabbeinu Menachem. Somebody wants to rely on Rabbeinu Menachem can do so. I don't mean you have to follow the Ramah, but the Ramah says this Hagdara. I should say that the Chachmas Adam, who's the Pesik Achrain for Yeridaya, the Chachmas Adam brings the Be'er Hagayla's rule. So then he says a mitzvah that you're not obligated in personally, and wouldn't be done otherwise, you're allowed to spend Maisa money on. So even though I'm telling you the Ramon de Gras say Maisa Ani, Chachmas Adam passes like the Baragayla. And the Shach also seems to pass like this Rabbeinu Menachem, that you're allowed to spend it on other mitzvahs if it wouldn't be done otherwise, and it's not your personal obligation.
And if you don't have money to pay for it on your own,
if you don't have a person, if any person doesn't have, oh, you mean, and the condition is you have money on your own. But the Rebbeinu Menachem said that it's if lo yehi yachalus biyadai with that.
So where do you, if you're Rebbeinu Menachem, where do you have to give your money to? Only Taniyim?
If it's yichalus biyadai, then you give it to the end. So what about asaka satayra? So we're going to have a sifta zayin. That mitzvah sedakal in arim lulmei taira has kedima to aniyim. So it's kedima to what it calls sedaka. So asaka satayra, we'll get to a sifta zayin. It's not clear to me how the Ramah fits in with that. But in Sifta Zayin you have this idea, which we'll see when we get there, that Lina'arim Lumatira. It doesn't say Laniyim Lumatira. It says Mitzvah Sedaka Lina'arim Lumatira. Oi, L'chaylam Aniyim, Odif. So it doesn't say Chaylam Ashirim, Chaylam Aniyim. So, you know, they have a bigger Chaylam room with food in a hotel, in a hospital. So Faniyim is certainly Sedaka. Could be the Gemara says that the Asher Chutz Li'irai has an in Ani, but it says when he gets back home he should pay back. An Ani Chutz Li'irai, an Asher Chutz Li'irai. Someone goes to a hospital out. Even if someone goes to Manhattan, he's got to be in the hospital. He's Chutz L'Makayvai. He's allowed to take from tzedakah, but it says that when he gets back home he should reimburse the tzedakah what he took. Someone goes to a Bikur Chaylim room and he takes food from there. So he's entitled to tzedakah, assuming it's tzedakah. Maybe people give even fashirim, I don't know. But if it's tzedakah money that's used, which I suspect people do use nice money for it, so it says an on Asher Chutz Li'irai is allowed to take tzedakah. When he returns home, we should reimburse. He doesn't have to pay for the room, he has to pay for the cake he took or the sandwiches he took. Or that they would pay without him. They paid that for the idea alone.
That doesn't take away from the person who gave tzedakah.
The tzedakah was legitimate, and if the usher takes from it, he only has to, I think, reimburse whatever he took. He has to pay for it.
As far as being able to pay yourself tzedakah, Rukowski, she's an Hakel Shiriger, said that a person, if he can't afford it, he doesn't
give himself tzedakah. He's part of from tzedakah.
He should separate the tzedakah and then pay himself.
No, you don't pay yourself. Yourself is not tzedakah. You separate the tzedakah. If you can't afford, you use it for yourself, and someday, hopefully,
so
you'll pay back.
You separate yourself and use it for yourself. That's not
tzedakah. That's
not
tzedakah. You're allowed to use it for yourself, but it's not tzedakah. So is that tzedakah? Is that ma'aser money? If it's not given for ma'aser money, then there's, of course, it's a chesed. You're allowed to take chesedim from people. It's no question. Don't give me a lift. Not because I'm an Ani, because I need a lift. It's a chesed. All the chesedim are good. I'm not taking away from the legitimization of chesed. Chesed is important, and people should spend money on chesed. If you take chesed, you don't have to pay back. But if someone's giving me money for meiser, from his meiser money for aniyim, and I don't need it, so I need it. I'm stuck in the hospital, but I should write out a check to the hospital and deposit it. They usually have a box there. You should write out the money, whatever you eat. You should take. If it's given from tzedakah money, yeah. It's true. You know, how much is so you can start saying how much do they need such fancy light fixtures? Do they need? I don't know. Hopefully, we'll get to that. But anyway, this is the Ramah when and the Shach. Let's finish the Shach because you'll be interested in what he says next. Chuvas Marama Rittenberg, the first Prague, Simon Ayin Hay Kosav. Now here there are two corrections in parentheses. So we're going to read it with the corrections, okay? The two Tosat Fusim that are corrected. Ulefazem imaisroisav le'anim. It says lebonav hagedolim, to give from your maisa money to an adult child. Sheinachayim letapul behen. You're not mechuyev to feed him. Mutter. Dafilu la'aviv mutter lases imuani mishum fight aviv. Even you're allowed to give tzedakah money to a father if he's an ani. Aval should say v'koshkei, v'koshkei lebanav, father mechivin kibarav, you're allowed to spend ma'isa money. Koshkei lebanav, the mutter b'mokim she'im bi'ir takana, losses the kisel tzedakah. If there's a takana, everyone has to give a certain amount to the kishel tzedakah, you have to do that anyway. But in our cities, there's no such takana. The Maram Rutenberg says you're allowed to spend money to support your adult children. U'mashma defuta, the mutter afili yesh bi'ada yochaylas the finest m'mokim acher. Does he have a tzedakah? Come on. He says that you're allowed to support your adult children. It doesn't mean you can buy them a Lexus with the money, but it means you can pay their grocery bills, you can pay their electric bills from tzedakah money. The Maram Rutenberg says that's mutter. Now, Rav Meisha, in the Gris Meisha, in the Chelak Aleph, Tshuva Kuf Mem Gimel, has, it's a Tshuva that has Kama Pratim Medina Maestris. So he says that Labonav Hagidoylim, when they're in your house, you have a child, he's going to Yeshiva, he's going to Beis Medrash, he's in your home. So Rav Meisha says you cannot take that for Meisr money. His Cheshvin is interesting Cheshvin, based on Dinei Ksuba of all things. He rather says even a wife's child, a stepchild who's living with you, you mechuyev al ksuba, as long as it's normal in your society for him to live in the house, you mechuyev to support him. You can't take tzedakah money. But once he's out in the world, out on his own, well, he's not on his own because he's sitting and learning. Or Moshe says even if he's not sitting and learning, he can't find a job, or he's in graduate school, or whatever it is. There's nothing to do with sitting and learning. Hasakas Torah is a separate cheshbon. This where Moshe says that if you have a child, a married child, someone who's out living on his own, and he doesn't have parnasa, you're allowed to support him from your ma'isa money. That's Ramosha's psak. What's a chiddush? What's a chiddush? Yeah, where he can go to take from the kailul, which other people are giving ma'isa money. He's taking kailul money from other people's ma'isa. So why is your ma'isa any different? Nachinami, I wish Uncle Sam would see it that way. That would be nice. You know, I mean, give charity to your child, that would be really good. But anyway, this is the psak, and it has nothing to do with sitting and learning. Sitting and learning is a separate cheshvin. Ramosha's tshuva, this Maram Rutenberg, is not because he's sitting and learning. It's because he's eligible at Tanami. I should tell you, the fascinating stipler, the stipler's in Sukkah, he brings a Rav Chanan and Bava Basra, who says that the Ikar Adin, any child, has a din ani. A child is over 6 years old. There's no takana susha. You have to support your child till age six. Over 6 years old, Rav Chanan says that a child, unless he has a lot of money in the bank, has a din of an ani. Le'inyin, that if you tell him I'm going to give you something, it's called a neder l'tzedakah. You hear that? So you tell a child I'm going to give you a candy. I'll give you a pizza. So the stipler has this shtickle Torah. That since Nikar Adin, you're not mechuyev to support. It's, so he says. Ramosha the Tshuva writes that it's not true. Bizman Azel, Chiyuv Ksuba is a Chiyuv Ksuba. You're obligated to support your wife's children until whatever's normal in this Medina. Certainly, if it's your wife's children and your children, you're mechuyev. So Ramosha disagrees with that. Ramosha holds that it's Nikar Adin. This man has said that you're mechuyev to support your children.
So if he's a child old enough to speak, he should demand a kenyan from you.
He should demand a kenyan to for his lollipop. Yeah, okay.
No, for everything.
They
need a lawyer.
Okay.
Chopping the lawyer.
Anyway, this is
the
shach. Now we turn. One more thing that's before the aliyah. Spending aliyah money is the taz. So look at taz aleph. The first half of the taz just brings the Rabbeinu Menachem. Let's go through it quickly. Taz aleph. Koshkeg, oh, first he says, interesting. Rakinetalaniyim, Taz Aleph. It's the one before Taz Beis. Okay, I can't tell you, it's after a different one. It says Reish Mem Taz.
That's
the new one. Rakinetalaniyim. Now here's an important din. Koshkeg, Lefroya Bohem Masim, Da'osu. You're not allowed to pay taxes with tzedakah money. Before you ask, 1 second. Abagam Diza Perakamid above Abasra, Afilu Ma. Gemara says that when the government takes money from you and gives it out for welfare, you get a schar of tzedakah. Well, the percentage of money the government takes that goes to poor people is maybe 1%, but whatever they take that goes to them is like your tzedakah. Since you're obligated to pay, before he gets to Aliyas, Ramesha writes in the Tshuva that income tax, which is technically money you never got, it's a sales tax, you got money, and you chose to spend it to buy something, so you have to pay sales tax. If you don't buy it, you don't have to pay sales tax. You buy it, you have to pay sales tax. He says income tax, which is which is, you have no choice. If you earn money, you have to pay income tax. So that's an expense of earning money. And you only have to give ma'aser after taxes, after the income tax. So whatever income tax is deducted, that's an expense of earning money. And that is not included in...
after 401k money?
In if we have a chance, we'll do a 401k, but 1 second. Ule inyan liknois mitzvahs bebeisak nesis b'mayis ma'aser. Now listen carefully. Buying aliyahs, we're assuming the money is going to the beisak nesis. If when you bid for the aliyah, you purchased aliyah, you had in mind to use ma'aser money, shari. The money goes to tzedakah. Even though you have a pleasure, you're able to give a kibbutz to others to get an aliyah. Every time you give out shumas and maestros, you give it to your friend. You give it to someone who does you favors. If when he bought it, he didn't have a mind to give ma'aser money, he was going to give him regular monies. V'akach roisel frayim ma'aser avalei kapereya chayvim yimoy ma'aser hanal. The very geshmak, you're allowed, if you have a mind when you bid, when you successfully bid for an aliyah, you're going to give for ma'aser money, you're allowed to give it.
Is that what?
Now look at Rebbe Akiva Eiger. This Rebbe Akiva Eiger here is the second Rebbe Akiva Eiger on the page, on our page, your page, I can't help you, I'm sorry, which says Tasif Katnala, Faya Daitai. You got it. Okay. Now listen to Rabbi Kiva Eger and someone explain this. Hayadati al Zeshari, Bishla Kosav, the Mikobakai, Imumaisif Lita Yosem Mechaveirai, if someone else bid $100 and you bump it up to 200, any Yachalita Mimaisif Shalai, Rakashir Masha Yosef. You can only take what you raise the bid, Avaloi Kafi Masha Rosagam Chaveirai Litain. But not what his friend would have given. The Bezeloi Hayel Kupashat Stuka Club. Stucker didn't gain $200. 1 minute, Stucker didn't gain $200 from you. They gained $100 from you. So therefore, what you raised your bid that you could do. However you understand. What did Stucker would have gotten anyway, you can deduct.
How do you know they would have paid it?
I don't understand that. Why?
So this is the problem. Now just please hold on. Everyone's getting excited. Nothing more exciting than... Now first, the moral of the story is, as soon as the Gabe says $18 for Shlishi, you should right away say $300. You know, so that's good. But, well, let me tell you. The problem, which I think we all have with this, is the following. Reuven bid $100, I'm bidding $200. So the Chayrish Law is right. I'm only benefiting Tzedakah $100. It's not true. Because had Reuven given Reuven would have given his $100 of ma'aser to the tzedakah. When I get it for $200, Reuven's not giving his $100. So tzedakah got that $100 back. The pool of money in the world for tzedakah, the $100 Reuven would have given, he's not giving. He's taking it back. He's going to have to give it somewhere else. So when I bid $200, I'm benefiting tzedakah $200. Because that $100 he bid, and then so that $100 he's not giving. What?
You don't get credit for your money.
Why? I'm benefiting tzedakah $200. He would have given $100 from his ma'aser money, but that $100 is staying in his pool of ma'aser money. How do I know? Right, so I'm only assuming that the other person would have given ma'aser money. Do people today, most people, what do? You give, you count as ma'aser what you give, I think.
I mean, he's going on
the most time. People do, I don't know.
He's going on the Taz, because the Taz makes a difference on the person's intention. So,
right,
so,
okay. One second. You're in L'chori, right? But I'll tell you, it has to do with Sif Tezayin, if you take a quick look at Sif Tezayin. But, so let me tell you, this Taina, I argued with Rav Palm many times. He said, "No, Rav Akiva Eiger is right," and I don't know. I don't know exactly. I honestly didn't understand what he was answering me. And then I brought him the Avos Chesed. I show Rav Palm the Avos Chesed just brings the Lashon HaTaz as Chofetz Chaim. He brings the Lashon of the Taz with those boys mitzvah ma'aser boys. Now, he's mutter for ma'aser money. He doesn't bring Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So, Rav Palm said, Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't understand, he's arguing with the Taz. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying, that's the Pshat in the Taz. So that's Pshat in the Avos Chesed. So I don't know, Rav Palm held like this Chumra of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that you should only deduct what you raise it. That's what you benefited tzedakah. You didn't benefit tzedakah more. And so I asked Rav Palm. So I'll do a trick. As soon as he says $18, I'll say $300. I know full well tzedakah would have gotten $200 anyway. 25. Right? Right? They would have gotten something. Yeah. Can I deduct it? So that much Rav Palm was masking. If I say you're the one who raised it, you can do it. What? But that. So you have here Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Taz, Maramaka Bani Lach. It's a shlah. We don't pass like every shlah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger bringing the shlah is endorsing it. Okay. What? All right, so the question is, I raised it 10 times. I bid 25, he bids 50. I bid 75, he bids 100. I bid, do I get every 25 that I raise? I don't know where to look up Hilchis bidding. I don't know. Okay. All right, so the question, a legitimate question, is why is giving to a Beis HaKnesses Maisa is not giving to Aniyim? So here I have to tell you, in Sif Tezayin, it says Yesh Misha Oimer Shemitzus Beis Haknesef Adifa Mimitzus Tzedaka Mitzedaka La'Aniyim Narim L'Metayra L'Chaylam Aniyim Adim Mitzus Beis Haknesef. It says there, for reasons we'll have to understand, that a Beis Haknesef and Nazaka Satayra is better than Aniyim. Why is it better? I assume he means a Beis HaKnesses in a community which needs the Beis HaKnesses, not a community that has a Beis HaKnesses 5 to a block. Yeah, it says even Beis HaKnesses. Right. So, well, I'm not reading the Ramah. There are a lot of good things, but I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tezayin. So I assume that's where it's coming from, that even though we mentioned Aniyim, maybe tzedakah, not meiser, but it's in the simin on meiser. I assume that it's a continuation. Mus and neiris don't count. So how could the binyan beis haknesses yes count? You're right. So I don't know. No, the question is good. If you bid money, when you give it to the shul uses it for neiris beis haknesses. And Rama said it's no good. Unless you'll understand, this is going to Reb Menachem. What? Ashir? Shuls? Perhaps. But here it says even basic. Yes. Okay, yes. Because it's conditional. When I bid on the condition that I get the Aliyah. If I don't get the Aliyah, then I don't have to give it. It's a condition. They're not going to make any money. If the shul says they're not conditional and the bidder says it's conditional, then it's conditional. Okay, let's go through some of the cases. I see this is very close to everyone's heart, you know. What? Where is Siftesayan? We'll have to talk about it when we get there. The argument people are saying that if Neiris Beis HaKnesses don't count, how can Beis HaKnesses count? It's a good argument. What? The Lashon, the Ramah used, the Mechaba uses Lashon Yesh Misham. The Shach and Taz and Yerodeah write many times that when the Shulchan Aruch writes Yesh Mishaimer, it doesn't necessarily mean anybody argues, but it means that I found it in a Das Yachid. And maybe others agree, maybe others don't. But they have one source for it, and they bring it. It doesn't necessarily mean that Chayokim on it. If the Shulchan brings a stoma, then Yesh Mishayim, then he means the halachas that way.
If he doesn't meet Chayokim. When you talk about Neris, the basic Mitzvah, Neris is the basic Neris. That could be something extra. The Shul had a certain amount of electricity.
Okay.
To have more light.
Okay. Let's have Pesach Tshuva. Okay, could be. Okay, let's see. Pesach Tshuva Aleph. We'll try to go through step by step all of the different cases he brings up. And naturally, we'll have to try to stick to each one. The first one is very important for those who invest in the stock market, which seems to fluctuate. Pesach Tshuva Aleph. Im hayoloi be'esik echad revach, u'be'esik echad hefsid. You involve yourself, you know, you bought stocks and sold stocks, you bought real estate and sold real estate. One, you made money, and one, you lost money. Ayin be'el heitim shol rab ma'arit, shekosah, b'shev shar afrayim, shebishoh shahayoloi hefsid, hayoloi cheshbin, shahayoloi hefsid. If you calculated one thing separately and the other thing separately, but a person made his cheshbainis for a tzedakah at the end of the year, the choshev kol cheshbainis a revach v'hehefsin the kol hashana, oz yimalei hehefsin in a revach ayin sham. So what he's saying, the way I understand it, we'll see in a minute, that if you made money and you gave ma'aser, finished. You can't take tomorrow's hefsid you lost, a person lost money, made a cheshbon, he had losses and he gave mice and whatever remained. And however he did his cheshbon, it's over, and whatever he did is over, you start again. But if when you're making your cheshbon, you have losses and profits, you're allowed to deduct losses against profit. Right, taxes, they have a carryover. You can carry over, is it for 5 years? You can carry out. See, he says, if it was in 1 year, he says that every year you have to give tzedakah, so you count your losses against your profits of that. Now he adds, "Mashkoza beheita b'shem echavis yoyer." When they say l'shuk, "Tamay tzav b'chala keren yichoshev," I'm just saying, "Pick me zed daite shem nakat tzav b'cholim." Okay, here the nidin is this: a person runs a business, and he has expenses in his business. He has a store, he has to pay rent, he has to pay shipping, he has to pay electricity. There's no question that you menaka all of that from your cheshbainis. It's one business, it's one cheshbon. So it's mutual funds. So on one thing it gains, one thing it loses. But it's all one fund, it's all one cheshbon. There's no question, if it's one business, one ASIC, that you're menaka. The issue is, if there are numerous different businesses, different investments a person has, can he count one against the other? So in that case, it's this discussion. So the Maritz said that if you make the cheshbon all together, you can deduct. The Yehuda limits it to 1 year of tzedakah. People can ask you, what's the year? Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or April 15th to April 15th, or whatever it is. So I'm not sure. It means the way a person makes his cheshbainis. It's better in depreciation. When you buy the building is a business expense. You deduct the whole building. Depreciation means you have to spread it over 25 years. When more make the whole building, until you pay off the building, you don't have to. So you have to make a cheshbon. If you only if you took a mortgage, you don't deduct that from your ma'aser money. But whatever expenses you have, whatever your expenses are, you deduct. That's the thing. Now, what? He limits it to a shana. The Maritz says, however you do your cheshbonis. Okay, but he's saying the way you make your cheshbonis. A toy mashana. Okay.
It doesn't take out anything. You sit there for 10 years.
As you have expenses, you can deduct it. Someone has a store and he puts in
mutual funds and stuff.
Mutual funds.
People hold for long term.
Yeah.
So you're only taking 10 years' time. They're going to take it out. Then you can make it out. Not every year.
Okay. It's interesting. The question is, why don't you take out the income? Now, if you're not allowed to take it out because you're allowed with a penalty, which then I don't think there's a question. You're saying if someone. Okay, if someone doesn't take out money from a business, he doesn't have to give. There's no question. So as a business, and the business is building up equity, you don't have to, until you take out money, you don't have to give. As far as mutual funds, liquid funds, I'm not sure. It's really money in the bank, in practical terms. Technically, it's not. So I'm not sure. However, I do want to tell you something. I think this was, if I understood correctly, Rav Kreisworth. Rav Chaim Kreisworth was, for the last 20 years of his life, was an extraordinary gabbai tzedakah. I mean, he raised a lot of money. And someone at Torah V'Das used to drive him around Brooklyn. And I had a schluss because it came 11 o'clock. He used to knock on people's houses at 11 o'clock. But 11:30, he said, he's not going to knock on anyone's houses. So he asked this fellow, where can I find a Beis Medrash now? So he said, he knows that I learn here at night. So Rav Kreisworth used to come here. It was very geschmack, an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham. I remember I had my surgery on my leg in 95, and I said, I was here with crutches. He walked in. He couldn't have prepared for this. He rattled off every Gemara that talks about a Tanu Amayru had a hurt leg, an injured leg. Then he started reshining, and he made sense of it, you know, like he put it together with certain ideas. I wish I would have recorded it. It was just absolutely incredible. Tremendous Tanu Chacham. So he told me once that the Ashirim are not giving tzedakah properly. And I think the following is what he had in mind. I'm not 100% sure. I think this is what he's saying. This is the issue. Let's say somebody, pick any name, a rich man, he's got investments all over. Now, it's true. He bought a bank. He doesn't have to give him ISR until he takes money out of the bank. The bank is earning money. It's an entity onto its own. It has capital. It's emes. When you take it out, you give him ISR. As long as the money's still in the business, you don't have to give him ISR. I understand. What happens if I go out and I buy, I go buy a bank, right? Assuming it's solvent. And I buy a good business. So I have a good business. It's making money. It has capital. Now, I have, Baruch Hashem, plenty of money to live. I'm not interested in taking out the capital and having tax consequences. So I go, I look for other businesses to buy. This is a bank. I look for other businesses to buy. I find someone manufacturing shoes. Nothing to do with a bank. A shoe manufacturer, I say, wow, that's a great idea. Shoes, I want to invest in a shoe store. So I, for business reasons, I'm not taking out the money and buying a shoe store. I'm having the bank buy, it's an acquisition. The bank is going to take over this shoe manufacturing business. So the thinking is, why do I have to give my ISR? It's still in the business. It's not really true. Really, you took money from the business, the profits of the business, and you bought yourself another business. Whether you take money from the business, you buy yourself a house, you buy yourself a villa, you buy yourself a car, so of course you have to give an ISR. If you buy yourself a new business, it's very hard to justify it's one business. Now, if someone is in the banks and the one bank acquires another, you can argue it's all one business. You know, someone's in real estate, he buys a few things, one can argue. But you can't argue that I have a shoe store, and now I buy a grocery, it's all one business. Not one business. You acquired for yourself a new business. What if you acquired for yourself a business, or a house, or a car?
Why is that different than if the bank invests in a mortgage, which is the way the business, the bank makes money, or the bank invests in a shoe store, which is the way the bank makes money? It's both ways of investing.
Okay, so it's not, I don't think it's the same. Well, it's a normal business of a bank, it's a bank. When I invest in a shoe store, I'm buying myself a shoe store. I'm buying, the bank is running its business, and I'm buying myself another business. Right, this is the way I understand. And it's Hashem, when I have the Shaila, I'll be done more protheistic, how these things work. I think that was his basic time, that the wealthy people are increasing their assets without having to get miser on it, because they never take it personally. Never take it. Let's go on with the Pesachuv. I don't want to be in the middle next week. The Kosavoid. You got it about 10 lines down. The Kosavoid. The Mois to Dan Yeshonegan of Islach like Hamaisak. Fia Yoshebe Neyem. Shapar Abdi. Vabonim Yotzim Zeh Trevasa. Vabich Mekash. And Nikla Bechai Velafish Maisim Mekam Veiloch. Right here. Until the Ayin Shom. It's not so Negea. Till the Ayin Shom. The second section. The Kosavoid. This is all about Nadin money. Where parents are giving money to the children. And the parents want to give ma'aser on it. They're supporting the children. The parents want to give. He makes a chilek if when you originally give the children the money, you say, I'm giving them ma'aser, you can do that. Once you give it to them, they can spend however they like, then they have to give the ma'aser. So this, the Ramesh has a tshuva. He says that parents could give their children support on the tenai that the parent gives the maisa from it and not the child. He says you could do it, and if you do it, it's binding. But otherwise, children should give. You have a child who's not earning money, and you're supporting. Okay, it's a good question. Now, what's exactly the level that you can count? But we're saying maisa is given by the parent. I would think the parent has to give maisa when he earns it. And the child now gets the money, he should give maisa. So Rabbi Shirai said, the parent gives it with such a tenai, it's foul. And, okay, I should mention, Chaim Knievsky quotes the Chazon Ish. You should look at the way he says it there. That he says, he's done, if you give a child money, but he can't spend it any way he wants. You tell him, take this money, buy yourself a suit. That should not be a meiser. The child shouldn't have to meiser that. It's not money. He can spend however he likes. If you give a child the money to live, it'll cost you this much to live here, and you figure out how to spend it, then it's meiser. If you give it to him for a specific thing, it appears, you have to look at the lashon there, that if you give him something specific item, that it's not in koshkin if you give him a thing. If you give him something. Rav Palm in the earlier years used to tell people, if you get a gift, you have to give Meiser what it's worth to you. Let's say a couple gets married, they get a gift to set a china. What's it worth to you? Now, you would never spend this expensive china, you would never spend thousands of dollars on it, fine. But you would buy a Corel set, it's worth to you $200. So when you get the gift, you have to give Meiser on what it's worth to you. This is what Rav Palm used to tell people. Then the Derech Hamuna came out. Chai Knievsky writes, B'shem Lechazon Ish, that you only have to give Meiser from money you get to spend. If someone gives you an item, even though you would have bought it, someone gives you an item, you don't have to give Meiser on the item you got. Meiser is from Ksafim and not from objects that a person gets. And after that, Rav Palm used to say, Chazanish Paskin, that you don't have to give. Chasna, people get objects as gifts. And I remember we got this one contraption. We could not figure out what it was. It looked like a bowling ball, but it was made out of some fancy crystal. And, you know, like we were going to throw it in the garbage. And my wife said it came with a tag from one of these places. She should go and return it in Manhattan. And what it was worth was incredible. You know, like it was a really expensive thing. You know, whatever it was. Okay. They give it to the next gift, right, okay. But anyway, my point is the psak, it's important psak, that if you get an item, it's my success, and you get an item, even though it's a thing, that you don't have to give maisers from that. Rav Palm was mitzadeh, I think he told people that if you get insurance where you work, that according to this, you don't have to get maisers from it. You're not getting money to spend however you like. They're giving you a benefit. It's worth a lot of money. Insurance is very expensive. You get insurance that you shouldn't have to give. The cash wedding gifts, a person has to give.
The giver.
Someone gives. So whatever a person... What a person gives an ani, if he's obligated to give a gift, even socially, he can't deduct it. But if he adds, because they're ani, sometimes you know that it's a poor family, so when you give him a gift, you add. Whatever you add is maestris. Whatever you have a social obligation to give, that's perea chayvai maestris. Let's just move on because we can ask questions all day. Va'ayim bishlah. Ayim bishlah dafrei samach beis. Shekasav degami Yerusha. Listen, this is going to cost you money, so pay attention. Ayim bishlah shekasav degami Yerusha. Sheyorash me'aviv. Sarklin Maisa. Af Sha'aviv Hoya Nizer Kol Yama Vimaisris. The Komak and Sarakulite Machaj. Even though the father gave Maiser. But now it's coming to the son by Yerusha. So the son has to give from what he received. I don't think they're Chelkim on this. That for Yerusha, a person also has to give. Now, if the father left the Tzava to give Tzedakah, there's still the son's Tzedakah. Because the father. A father's tzava is not really binding on a child. I mentioned once that without a kinyan, things are not binding. So if the father says, I want you to give from the Yerusha, I want you to give him, him, and him, So the child has a mitzvah kibbutz have to do it, but it's Michel Ben. It's a son spending money, and it's not technically an obligation. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a tshuva in which he's mitzat. Kibbutz av eim, he says, Yizekha have to give. I, kibbutz av eim, is Michel Av, not Michel Ben. You have to spend your money. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Ulai, that since it came from the father, at kibbutz av eim, you're really obligated to do it. But at any rate, I think that a person can count it from his ma'aser money the way I understand it. But if the father did a kinyan, if he did a proper kinyan, if it's mois b'yad sholish, you should know. We pass like Rabbeinu Tam, who holds, when the Gemara says mitzvah l'shmaya divrei ha-meis, the mitzvah to listen to a meis. So what does that mean? Rabbeinu Tam says that's mois b'yad sholish. If the father, before he died, gave the money to a third party, a bank is a third party. If he instructed the third party that after his death it should go to tzedakah, so mitzvah shmaya divrei ha-meis. The son has no right to challenge it. He has to listen to the instructions. That's what we pass him. If it's biyad sholish, you have to listen, which means it's really the father's tzedakah. Let's say the father has an IRA and he wrote the beneficiary is a tzedakah. So then that's the father gave tzedakah. The father wrote the son is the beneficiary and he told the son, give it to tzedakah. So that's not called mois b'yad sholish. In the hand of a sholish, but instructions were not given to the sholish. Then it's the son's cheshbon of tzedakah. Okay, he goes on. Vayim b'tshuvas noyde b'Yehuda. Kam b'chel k'yordes amin ayin k'yavosh nishol. B'mishon nov ma'isik sovim kol yamav. A man gave ma'isik. Hoyo lo'y pinkas miyuchid l'zeh. And he had a separate, today people have separate checking accounts for it. Hachoyv miyuchid l'zeh. Kosov b'y. Kolach nasi shaloi, kama maisa megia. Kumeke roshim, chalukas atstokis v'maisa. Ulupamim umagdim lite laniim v'akak shereva hirviach minakim v'na maisa. So he keeps a book. He's ahead. He gave more tzedakah than he earned. Acha baitse, nisa hachezru sha maisa chayiv loi, eizasach. And yesh biyari yoshim, lak izem v'maisa shalem. Can the children take a credit for that extra of amount, a heishiv? And listen to this chiddush of the Noid B'Yehuda. Let's have to explain to you. Shaila is whether you can take, you can prepay maisers. Can a person prepay his miser, and then when he earns it, he'll count it against the amount? Maybe you'd call this mehahalochis ha'oimimois biyodeinu, from the flickering sort of, the unclear halochis. Whether you can prepay. What's it based on? The sugya in a few places in Shas. I think you bring some gittin aflamit. That it was the minig at the time of Shulis HaMaisris that a farmer would give a levy or a kayin, he'd give him a pile of wheat and he'd say, take this wheat, and when I don't want to patchke every day Shulis HaMaisris, you know, every day I take things in, I'm a patchke every day. So when I take in my Shulis HaMaisris, my fruit at the end of the day, my produce at the end of the day, I'm going to say that the wheat I have in the Kayin's house should be counted against what I took in today. So the Gemara has such a case where a person, now, did he really prepay it? Not really. Because he pre-gave it, he pre-handed it to the Kayin, the mitzvah lite, and that lite he did ahead of time. However, the wheat has to still exist. If the Kayin ate it, you can't take true advice of what he ate against what you have. So it's sort of a halfway deal. You gave it, mitzvah nesina you did before, but the mitzvah afrasha still you have to do afterwards. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that the suffix is how that works with meiser. Can you prepay meiser ahead of time or not? Rabbi Yehuda is mesupik, the Aruch Haner is mesupik. There are a lot of paiskim kadmainim who are mesupik in it, and the Reb Chaim Knievsky in his Derech Emuna says that I forgot who he quotes, I didn't mark it down, but he says he's mekel that a person can take a, can prepay a maestris. What? Oh, we're going to get to that. Maestris really has to be exact. If you want to give extra and be mekel it, that's fine, but a person wants to keep a cheshbon just like al tavel aser amuda, you should. Now, the Eitzah is to give b'derech halvah, to give to the tzedakah the same way they gave to the levim, the kayim. To give b'derech halvah, if you give b'derech halvah, then certainly you can deduct it later. But the din itself, as I said, is a is like the Navi Yudah says, is not, it's not a clear thing. If originally you gave and you prepay, so any dinei ma'isa depends how you started giving. That's really how your Kabbalah is.
What is the name of giving derech halvah?
What?
What?
You say I'm lending it to you, and when I have ma'isa money, yeah. Sure. You say, look, I don't have any ma'isa money now. I'll give you this money now, and it'll become ma'isa money at the time that I have money. So l'chayre, that's the Gemara's case. That seems to be that that you can do it.
Yeah. Refinancing
your buildings. Refinancing buildings, we have to talk about separately. It's not. It depends on too many things to do it. People take a mortgage on buildings, and then the partners divide it, and they pay it off of the profit. Whatever money you take out of a business, you should give ma'aser on. So if you take a mortgage and the partners divide the money, they should give ma'aser on it. Later, when they pay it back, they don't have to take ma'aser on that. Now, over the years, the business pays back the mortgage, so that you're not going to take ma'aser from. When you pull money out of a business, that's when you should give ma'aser. What?
Just
I understand. But you can't do it both ways. You can't, if the business makes money, I don't take it out, I'm not counting it as ma'aser. And if I take it out and the business is borrowed it, then I could count it. It's one way or the other. Either you, whatever the business earns, you give. Whatever you take out, you give. You can't have it both ways. Okay. Look at the fourth line in the Ramah, if I want to finish. Kasavayd. The fourth wide line in the Pisrei Tshuva. Now listen to this. Kasavayt emesa ha'isha v'yara shabal es ksuva ksuvasa boy isurei nichsei diyaris mina miyum layaris rak suva deraisei nebuchiv la'aser. What he's talking here about is the nichsei melug, nichsei tzayim barzel, that come into a house. Actually, the line before he talked about it, but the issue is this: when a person gets married, so it may be that his wife brings nechosim into the marriage. The person gets married, his wife owns a bank account or whatever she may own. She may have assets that belong to her. Those assets are called nisei malug. Now, when there's a divorce, that goes back to her. It's not true that kol ma shekani shekana b'ayin, but whatever she brings into the marriage doesn't belong to the husband. The profits from it go into the marriage pool, into the family money, which if the husband is supporting her, he has a right to use. But the asset itself still belongs to the wife. As a matter of fact, if a wife inherits during the marriage, they're married 20 years, a wife inherits from her parents, and later on they get divorced, she gets back her nechsei malug. Even if they don't get divorced, the husband dies, the children yarshin, they don't yarshin what's hers. Her nechsei malug remain hers. That includes what she yarshins from her side of the family during the marriage. That's the nechsei tzayim barzel, the nechsei malug, that's things that belong to her, and they don't go to the husband. Even though the husband uses the profits, it belongs to her. So he's saying is that when the wife dies, we don't think of it that way. A married couple usually thinks of their joint assets as being theirs. Nevertheless, since al pidin, the money which fell in is you only get the Torah's yarsh, the so-called yarsh in yoksuba. So the Yaivitz Rabbi Yaakov Edner says that you have to give ma'aser on that. On the 200 zuz of the ksuba, you don't have to give. That's not money that you're getting in your pocket. That's what he's saying. And okay, I guess I'm going to leave the last few cases. Tuition we didn't talk about. So it's Hashem, a few of these things.
The last case you said, the woman has...